seeking collaborations with influential people? At GZPR, we create passion-fueled collaborations that go beyond traditional representation. A performance agency that onboards new clients every month. Our focus is on POC collaborations. Contact us now at hellogzpr.com, a self-aware public relations agency exploring world perspectives with leading talents.
Hello and welcome. My name is Tiffany Farag and welcome to Get to Know You Cafe. In my mission to open conversations and access deeper dialogue, I wanted to hear from you listeners on last week's question and discussion. Last week's podcast, when Lee and I discussed the question, how can we probe someone to empower themselves? We received a number of responses that further deepened dialogue. Joining us today on the Get to Know You Cafe is Amar from an upcoming episode. Welcome back, Amar.
Thank you very much. I'm very excited to make my appearance before my original appearance.
So glad to have you back. So earlier you were given the topic from last week's podcast to reflect, and you've also listened to the episode. Prior to listening to the different responses, what are your thoughts on the discussion?
Well, I remember thinking while listening to the episode, I was actually scared of you for a bit because I felt like you've chosen such a, like, that there could not be a better topic that you could have chosen for me, because you might as well just name the episode "How Can Amar Help Others Empower Themselves," because everything that Lee was saying that we should not do, I was doing. So it was a completely enlightening episode for me, and particularly I was very surprised with the subtleness of how we can do this, like even the words that we use. Like, you know, not saying why, because it sort of like corners the person when we are talking to them. These are things that I had not realized before, and it was such a revelation to me. And I also found out that something that I found very interesting was the part in the episode where you talked about education. And this was the only bit that I was sort of, I won't say I disagree with it, but I wish we could we could ask Lee more of it, and because the impression that I got while listening to the episode was that learning about, let's say, the periodic table or about plants and how the world operates, about atoms and that sort of thing. I got the impression that both of you were saying that it would be better if we can implement some real life skills. And I agree with it. I'm not saying the education system is perfect, but I want to ask you, do you think that in the education system that we have today, do you think that if we replace all the academic stuff that we learned with practical life skills, that would be the way to go in the future?
So I wouldn't say, like, for me, like when I was talking about it with Lee, I wouldn't say replacing it, but I would say that there needs to be other life skills that are very important that we are not taught, that need to be like the core of the education system. So it's still important to learn about atoms and these different things is what I'm saying. But like, I think, you know, core things that we're not taught about: money, how to handle your money, what to do with money, like how to invest, how to, you know, when it comes to buying property or buying different things, how do you go about doing that? We're not really taught about these things, but yet these things are the main things that we go and do. We're not really taught about well-being. We're not taught about how to deal with our emotions. We're not taught about, you know, how to deal with conflict. These things are not exactly discussed at a primary level or at a secondary level. Maybe if you go into university and you choose a degree in psychology, or you choose a degree in things like that, in finance, right, then you right. have, you know, you get to know about it. But I think there are basics that we should learn and that should be embedded. And that well-being, just like, you know, how to check in with yourself to see, oh, something's not right with me right now. I'm kind of either really, really angry or something, or I'm very emotional right now. What are my triggers? What's triggering me to be this way? Nobody sits there, you know, teaching us. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, I hear what you're saying. I got the impression that because there is a notion amongst people today where they think that everything that we learn in school is useless. Like the notion is that why should I learn about science when I'm really interested in business? You know, why should I waste my time learning about atoms and molecules and that sort of thing when I see myself in having a career in business, for example? And that was what I thought I understood, but I completely agree with what you're saying, that the education system is not perfect and that we do need more of real life examples like money, well-being, how to check in, like just like you said. So yes, I completely agree with you and Lee on that.
Yeah, I wonder if, you know, these things will change. Like I discussed this with a lot of different friends, the whole education system and trying to, we looked at where did it start and why do we have it this way, and even other things like why do we have a 9-to-5 job and all these different things. And I wonder if like maybe it takes another 100 or 200 years for different things to be embedded in the new education system. But relative to the question, I was really intrigued to hear that a lot of the things that you were saying, that things that you Lee was saying not to do, you were doing. And I have a question for you. Do you think you probe other people to empower themselves?
After listening to the episode, I'm not really sure, because see, when my friends come to me for advice or something like that, I listen. I'm not saying I don't listen, but I have a tendency to, how do I put this? I think I have a tendency when a friend comes to me with some trouble, or when they come to me for advice, I think I have a tendency to say that, to pretend like I know the answer more often than not, you know, and it's like this obligation on me that my friend saw that Ammar would be a good person to come to for advice. So I sort of put this burden on myself that I have to have the answer, which is really not the case, because they might just need me to listen, or they might just, like Lee said, you know, if I act as a bouncing board to the other person, you know, they have the answers with themselves and I can sort of probe themselves to come up with these answers. And I definitely did not realize that there was that way that I could take, which I'm very grateful for. The fact that I think this is fate that I was chosen to be in the cafe episode of this podcast. But yeah, I'm really happy with this.
Yeah, I'm glad that you were able to benefit from it and like take things. Like I've listened to it a few times. I'm like, oh yeah, you know, like different things that we were discussing. And I'm like, I wonder if I can be conscious. I think the clear thing is being conscious when your friend, because people tell you their problems all the time, even if they don't want your advice. They just need a vent. They just want to talk. So we always have the opportunity to empower our friends all the time, or sure, our family, or yep, whoever comes to us. So that's I think the key, that I guess the message that I wanted to come across is that we're always have problems, we have worries, we have concerns, we have decisions to make. People always want to talk about them most of the time. They want to let it out somewhere, some way or form. So, like, well, what are ways that, if we're on the receiving end of that, what are ways that we can, you know, not give our answers, not give our advice, not give our things, but allow the person to come up with those things themselves? So, yeah, it was such a key, I think, a key episode. So yeah, now, sure, no, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, you're right.
No, I was just going to say that this episode really calls for a delicate balance between empowering themselves. It calls for a delicate balance between allowing others to empower themselves and also knowing when to step in and say, look, this is what I think you should do, you know, because there are times when your friends might feel truly, truly lost. And then at that moment in time, if you decide to go into a guru mode and try to say, no, what do you think you should do? And that sort of thing, it's going to be counterproductive. So I think there should be a delicate balance where we are better able to identify what are the times we act as a bouncing board, and then what are the times we give sound advice.
Sure. I get what you mean, but I guess, like, you know, when decisions are quite big and it's really, I think, important for your friend to make the decision themselves.
Yep.
Like, you know, you don't want to be, you don't want to be like, I guess not blamed, but it's not your responsibility. Like big decisions where you shouldn't take the responsibility, they need to.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, in that kind of sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now we'll read some responses where some of the listeners either asked some questions or shared their thoughts on the episodes. So the first response is from Bethany from Scotland. This is what she said. I really enjoyed this episode. We really do need to be empowering each other, especially when we are seeking answers. Something I thought was interesting was the point about not asking why questions. Why questions for me really get me out of my head. Do you think why questions can be used in a way to empower someone? I thought that was a very good question. And I was thinking about it again, and I actually discussed this with Lee. So I had the opportunity to talk with Lee. And Lee's like, you know, yes, why questions can still be used, but in many cases are not. People tend to use the why questions in a way to disempower somebody. So sometimes when someone says, for example, I made this decision, I'm going to go do this, or, you know, this is what I think about this. I think it's a good reason when they're so sure of something or so sure of a decision, like the door's closed or blah, blah, blah. I think it's a good way to be like, but why? Like, you know, right. Or for example, like, I always ask people, you know, when people, you know, choose a career, for example, or they're like, oh, I'm tossing, you know, I'm going to do this, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Why are you doing this career? Why did you choose this career? When you kind of get down to that part, because when people, you know, decide to change careers, I'm like, all right, well, what are you doing initially? Why did you choose that?
Right.
A lot of the time, you know what I mean? They don't know. It's like, wait, why did I choose that?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. And I think this is also another part where we have to find the balance. And the only way we can find this balance is if we practice what we learned from the episode. And I think a useful way that we could put this into practice is, so after I listened to the episode, I had the opportunity to actually practice this. Mm-hmm. Like one of my friends came to me for something. It was actually a very, very small thing. It wasn't actually advice, but I thought, okay, I'm not going to ask him why. I'm just going to try to, you know, rephrase it with a what or a how question. And I did, you know, and I managed to do it. And I was surprised at myself because it would have been very easy to just say that, why did you do that? Or why do you think this happened or that sort of thing? But when I was able to phrase it into a how or a what question, I felt empowered within myself as well because I felt like I was understanding him better.
Mm.
So I think that if we can use the process of elimination, like if you find yourself in a position where you are in a where you feel yourself going to ask a question that begins with why, try to find a phrasing of that question that starts with what or a how. If you cannot come up with a question that starts with a what or a how, then it probably means that this question is a why question. Because many of the questions that we say that we start with why only starts with why because we are conditioned and pre-accustomed to start it with why. You know, the better way is obviously to start with what or a how. But if we cannot find any way where we can start the question with a what or a how, then that question simply has to be a why question.
That's so a great process. Idea. I like that. I like that process of elimination there. That's really, really cool. And so, like, what type of, I guess, what and how questions did you ask when your friend came to you with some problems?
Because this thing was very, very, it was a very small scale problem. I don't really remember, I don't recall the exact situation, but if the question is like, why did you do it? You know, I found it very easy to rephrase like, what made you do it? Or what made you think that this was the right decision? Or how did you feel when this happened? You know, and if you really think about it, all of those questions lead to the same answer. The only difference is when you say, why did you do it? You are cornering the person. When you say, how did you do it? Or what made you feel that way? Or what made you feel when this happened? It sort of empowers the other person because the word why is sort of like, in a way, it comes off as very hostile, even though you mean it in the best possible way.
Sure.
And I think this is why it takes a lot of practice for sure. And then once you do it a lot, and I'm sure as Lee would agree, that once you do it a lot, it sort of becomes second nature. And then you can just frame the questions without much effort and much thinking. All it takes is practice.
Well, in saying that, sure, yeah, like you've practiced the questions, but then I think a key here, what Lee was also talking about, is that look at what's not being said. Because that's, I think, a big one too. So our next response is from Henry from London. This is what he said. This episode was powerful. I asked a few friends if I have probed them in our past conversations, and they were honest and said no. This was a real wake-up call, and so I asked another friend to tell me what they have been worrying about. I tried these methods and saw so much change in the whole dynamic in the conversation. Thank you for this episode.
That was a very wholesome post.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool. What do you think of that response?
I think that's very, very cool. And I can sort of relate to him because I can see the changes myself because I implemented them right away. I had the chance to implement them right away. And I think that if there is someone out there listening to this episode where they don't really see why or how this change can be such a huge change, the only way you can find out for yourself is if you go out and try it. And I guarantee you, if you do try it, I'm speaking from personal experience, you will feel the change within you as well. Because the responses, even though these why and how questions may indicate the same issue, the responses that the other person gives you is very, very different, you know, because it's how they perceive the question as well. And the word why is simply is not the smartest choice when you're in a situation like this. So yeah, I really, really, what was his name? Was it Nicholas?
Henry.
Henry. Sorry. I don't know where I got Nicholas from, but yeah. But yes, Henry, I completely relate with Henry, and I couldn't be much more happier for him because this is truly, I would say this is it's a life changer, you know, because I've experienced it myself and I was very excited for this episode because I want to share my experience with this.
I'm so glad that you experienced that and you went out there and you tried it out. And I'm so glad that Henry, like you did the same. And it's such a, I love the confrontation, I guess the honesty and the confrontation to be able to ask your friends, have I done, you know, probed you in a way that empowers you? And the friends to be honest and say, no, you haven't. I wonder too, like how many people would have not ever either received this from their friends or have never tried to attempt to do this with people. I think it'd be like in many cases, most.
Yeah, for sure. I think because this thing is so subtle, the changes that you make is very, very subtle. Not many people would try it. And the only way you can sort of realize this on your own is if you do an extensive study on, you know, how the effects that words have on people and that sort of thing. And basically, you know, the career or the career path that Lee is on. So it really is a big revelation for everyone that listened to the episode. And the best part of this whole thing is that it's very easy to implement.
You know, it's so easy to implement and we can all do it. And I think, that's a great thing is that we can all actually, you know, it's beneficial for both ends. The person who's being empowered, who's empowering 100%. Themselves, and the person who's probing. So it's like, well, we can all benefit from this. And I think it's a great thing to identify first. Like, are you doing this at all in any of your kind of relationships with friends or family or anyone or with your partner and you know, attempt it, practice it.
It also makes you a better listener because now you know that you cannot resort to the simple why question. You need to come up with a how or a what question. So it makes you listen more intently. And I was surprised at how much I was surprised of the extent that you could go into listening intently. If you want to listen intently, if you think you're listening intently now, you probably can go one level deeper, you know, because I found this like it's never ending. Like there is no state of you listening intently because, you know, our minds are always distracting.
Yes.
And so having to come up with these what and how questions makes you even more of a better listener than you already are.
Absolutely.
And that is one added bonus. Yeah.
That's a great point there. That's fantastic. And that's a big key again on its own, like listening. A lot of people struggle doing that. Fantastic. A great exercise that will enhance your listening. I think that's really, really great. So our next response is from Ali from New York. This is what she said. When I read the title of this episode, I didn't understand how you could probe someone to empower themselves. But after the After listening to the episode, I was so surprised that in my 37 years of life, I had not experienced this. It makes you think about the types of people we surround ourselves with and the interactions that don't leave us feeling empowered. If you try this out and the response you receive is defensive, are you doing it wrong? I'm like, ooh, that's a very interesting question. So if you... I guess if you're probing someone, I think she's saying if you're probing someone and they become defensive, are you doing something wrong? I think, you know, like Lee was saying, there's a time and place to probe someone. So usually when someone's coming to you in the heat or the intensity of an emotion, feeling real, a lot of anger or a lot of sadness or something, I don't think that's a moment to probe them.
Yes.
I think it's a moment to listen and comfort them. I'm not sure into what kind of scenario Ali attempted at doing this. But I guess when someone's coming to you with a problem, but they're more clear, like it's like something that they've had on their minds for a while, but they're in clarity a bit. I wouldn't say you don't have complete clarity to be able to, I guess, suggest or probe them.
Yeah, I think, yes, a situational awareness is huge on this, because if the person is coming to you really, really mad and really, really wanting to like rant and just feel understood, and then if you go into like Shakespearean mode and you try to question them, it's not going to pay off.
No.
So you do really need to have situational awareness for this for sure. And again, you only will be able to build up an awareness for these kind of things if you practice it. And when you practice it, you're definitely going to make mistakes, you know, because this is a skill just like any other skill. If you want to learn to code, if you want to learn to photograph, you're going to make mistakes. And this is also going to be that sort of journey. And the more you do it, the easier it becomes, the more it becomes inherent within you. And I don't think that we should let these mistakes stop us from mastering this skill. Because imagine if I imagine myself being able to master this skill, that means that every conversation that I have, I can have a hint of empowering other people. You know, if I master this to the level where it becomes like counting my numbers, or, you know, saying my alphabets, this conversation that I'm having with you right now, without me realizing it, I'm empowering you. You know, that's the sort of level that you can aspire to. And to get to that level, you definitely need to be able to practice this consciously over a period of time. And only then can you be able to, quote unquote, master it. But yeah, and also I think that there might be scenarios, we don't know what scenario she was in, but there might be scenarios out there where no matter what you do, the person is going to react negatively.
So
take it with a pinch of salt and move on.
That's very true as well. That's very true. Like, I was thinking now, is like, are there some personality types that could not handle that? I don't know. Like, is that something like certain personality types or certain mental states that would not be able to handle somebody probing them for them to come up with? Because, you know, if, you know, there's a lot of mental work going on. If you're probing someone, their brain's trying to figure it out. Their brain's trying to figure out the answer. So if the mental work is maybe too draining on them, I can see why they would or how they would get angry.
Yeah, I guess. Yes. It does make sense, but we shouldn't let that stop us, you know, because
no, of course not. Yeah. In many cases, I think in most cases than not, it would be beneficial and the response will be welcomed and actually like invited and nurtured in a way that the person will feel like thankful.
I agree. I 100% agree. And there are also, so I think if the time had allowed for it, Lee would have gone into a much more extensive way on how we can practice this. And I was reading a book by Dale Carnegie called How to Win Friends and Influence People. And he talked a lot about this. Do you have the book as well?
I do. It's right here on my desk. I actually was in a secondhand bookstore last week
What did you buy it recently?
I just found it. It's right here.
Nice. You should definitely read it. This is a very, very good book. Because there is one chapter in that book about arguments and how you address people. And he makes very, very great points on the subtle changes that you can do to the words that you speak. Just like Lee said, that elicits a completely different reaction from the person that you're speaking to. One such example is if you use the word "but." You know, people say like, look, I think you're making a really, really good point, but so and so and so. When you use the word "but," you're actually negating everything that you said before that. You know, like, I think you are making a really, really good point, but. Well, if you really think I'm making a good point, there wouldn't be a "but" after that, you know.
Sure. So,
and it sort of like negates every good thing that you said, and the person is just going to focus on whatever comes after the "but." So, yeah, there are very, very subtle things that you can do, and it's really a good skill. And I think if we all start with just not using the word "why," we will see a huge change to how we interact with other people. And I think that is the most exciting part of the episode for me, because now every conversation that I have, I try not to use to start with "why," even though that nature of conversation is completely different.
Yeah.
but yeah, it's been a fun little challenge for me, and enjoying it so far.
Fantastic. I love that so much. You know, like in my life, like why I came up with that question was that I would say there are only two people in my life that really know how to probe. Like, you know, a couple, yeah, I would say only a few. I know a lot of people and I'm friends with them. I have really great friends and I love all my friends, but to probe another person, like in a way that they step aside and allow that person to kind of question things themselves, you know, I would say only like two or three people really know how to do that in my life.
Well, in that case, you're very lucky because you can learn firsthand from them.
Yeah, well, that's what I did. I was just like, wow, you know, this is amazing. Like I loved feeling that and recognizing that this is not done so often. And then I started just doing it with everybody. but I would love, like, obviously from this episode for us all, like, I think it would be such beneficial just, you know, if we could all do this.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. Some people have a way with words and it's like they just came out of the womb speaking because they're so good with words. And these are the type of people that really don't need to work on these kind of things. But for the rest of us, it doesn't really mean that we cannot be like them, at least in this aspect, you know. And the only difference is that we have to sort of put in more effort so that it becomes more inherent, so that we can do this practice without much effort and much thinking.
Sure, sure. You don't even need like a thing to be great in words. You just need to be really attentive and listen and lead yourself and your advice and your own looking at the scenario away from the picture. Like you said, take a lateral approach.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
See where you can go with it. Yeah, absolutely. So I really very much, it was very interesting hearing these different responses with the different listeners and hearing your response and adding to the conversation and all these different perspectives that we get. And I think the key here that I'd always like to point out is it has nothing to do with being intellectual. Like when we ask questions, it's more a matter of we all have different experiences and live in different environments and have different thinking. So I guess, you know, the clearer picture we can develop from all these different perspectives will allow for our own beliefs and thoughts to kind of narrow in on what we truly believe or what really works for us. I want to thank you so much, Amo, for coming onto the cafe episode, and I always enjoy our conversations. It's so great.
Thank you very much. I'm really, really glad that we finally filmed an episode after. Also, I would like to issue a public apology to all of Tiffany's listeners because we were supposed to film an episode last week, but I completely became a very irresponsible person and completely forgot about that. So, Tiffany, I'd like to apologize to you publicly.
No worries at all. No worries at all. We're going to film that episode anyway. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening to the Get to Know You Cafe. If you enjoyed this podcast, rate, review, and share the podcast on Facebook or Instagram. You can tag me at Get to Know You with Tiffany Farrow. Be sure to listen to Tuesday's podcast and send in your responses for us to include next Thursday on the Get to Know You Cafe to further deepen dialogue on this topic. If you have any topics you would like us to discuss, be sure to tag me in a post with your question. Join us every Thursday on the Get to Know You Cafe.